Stay tuned for Africa News Tonight, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Francis Alonso reporting. The Islamic State group has released a photo of a bomb it says was used to bring down a Russian passenger plane in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula last month, killing all 224 people on board. The picture was published in the latest issue of the extremist group's English language magazine with the caption, "Exclusive image of the IED used to bring down the Russian airliner." The picture showed a yellow can of Schweppes Gold soda and what appeared to be other bomb components. Russia's FSB security service said Tuesday that a bomb brought down the plane. Meanwhile, Egypt says it's still investigating the cause of the crash. At least two people are dead and seven others have been detained in an anti-terrorist operation in northern Paris linked to last week's attacks around the French capital. For VOA, Lisa Bryant reports.
The dead include a woman who set off her explosives vest during the seven-hour standoff with police early Wednesday in the suburb of Saint-Denis. Another seven people were detained during the raid that targeted an apartment in the central part of town.
Dans le cadre de cette enquête, nous avons il y a beaucoup de travail qui a été effectué.
Following the operation, Paris prosecutor François Moulins confirmed it targeted Belgian jihadist Abdelhamid Abaoud, the suspected mastermind of last week's attacks that killed 129 people. Meanwhile, the search continues for suspects and accomplices linked to the Paris attacks. Another key suspect, Brussels-born Salah Abdeslam, may still be on the loose. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
You can read more on that story at voanews.com. This is VOA News. Nigerian police say two women suicide bombers blew themselves up at the entrance of a busy market in Nigeria's second city of Kano, killing themselves and three other people. The death toll could be higher. Witnesses who spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of repercussions say they counted at least 20 bodies. Wednesday's twin bombings come the day after a night attack by a suicide bomber killed 34 people and wounded 80 in the northeastern city of Yola. Nigeria's leader has ordered the arrest of the former president's national security advisor for allegedly stealing billions of dollars meant to buy weapons to fight Boko Haram, Islamic extremists rampaging across northeast Nigeria. Thousands of needless Nigerian deaths would have been avoided if the money had been properly spent. That's according to an advisor to President Muhammadu Buhari in a statement Tuesday night. The order follows an interim report by a presidential committee that uncovered fraudulent and fictitious arms contracts amounting to $5.4 billion. The New York-based Human Rights Watch alleges police abuses against Afghan refugees in Pakistan have skyrocketed during the past year. The Human Rights Watch report calls for Pakistan to act decisively to end what the rights group terms the rampant police harassment. Ayaz Ghul reports from Islamabad.
Human Rights Watch describes the situation for Afghans residing in Pakistan as increasingly precarious. The International Rights Defender says it based its findings on interviews with refugee families, including those who had returned to Afghanistan. The report says hostility toward the Afghan community is not new in Pakistan, but increased dramatically after last December's militant attack on a school in Peshawar that killed 145 people, mostly children. It says since then, Pakistani police have carried out raids on Afghan settlements, detained, harassed, and beaten Afghan men, extorted bribes, and demolished homes. There was no immediate comment from the Pakistani government about the HRW report. Ayaz Ghul for VOA News, Islamabad.
The United Nations says Secretary General Ban Ki-moon will not be traveling to North Korea next week, despite media reports saying otherwise. In a statement Wednesday, a UN spokesman said the UN chief will be in New York for most of the week before heading to Malta for the Commonwealth Summit. From there, Mr. Ban travels to Paris to attend a global climate change talks. Turkish security forces killed a suspected Islamic State militant and detained 21 others while they were trying to illegally cross the border from Syria into Turkey. The incident took place Tuesday in Kilis province in southern Turkey. I'm Francis Alonso in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yis Woo Heeb, and coming up this hour on Africa News Tonight.
At least two people are dead and seven others have been detained after an anti-terrorist operation in northern Paris linked to last week's attacks around the French capital. The fate of the suspected mastermind in the attacks, Abdelhamid Abaoud, is unclear.
That's VOA's Lisa Bryant reporting from Paris. Details coming up.
Also in Nigeria, suicide bombers kill at least 32 people and wounded 80 at a marketplace in the city of Yola.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story this hour, at least two people are dead and seven others have been detained after an anti-terrorist operation in northern Paris linked to last week's attacks around the French capital. Lisa Bryant reports from Paris that the fate of the suspected mastermind in the attacks, Abdelhamid Abaoud, is unclear.
The dead include a woman who set off her explosives vest during the seven-hour standoff with police early Wednesday in the suburb of Saint-Denis. Another seven people were detained during the raid that targeted an apartment in the central part of town.
Dans le cadre de cette enquête, nous avons il y a beaucoup de travail qui a été effectué.
Following the operation, Paris prosecutor François Molins confirmed it targeted Belgian jihadist Abdelhamid Abaoud, the suspected mastermind of last week's attacks that killed 129 people. He said the identities of those killed and detained were still being verified. More clarity is expected later in the day. Abaoud, who has been linked to other terrorist operations, was previously reported to be in Syria. Reports suggest he may have traveled to Europe at least once this year, underscoring larger concerns about intelligence lapses and the security risk posed by returning jihadists.
Le porte-avions Charles de Gaulle vient d'appareiller. Il nous permettra en Méditerranée.
In a speech to French mayors, President François Hollande outlined a series of measures to fight the Islamic State group, which has claimed responsibility for the attack. France launched a third set of airstrikes against IS targets in Syria and is deploying the Charles de Gaulle aircraft carrier in the Mediterranean to reinforce its strike capacity. Hollande is also calling for a grand coalition that includes both the United States and Russia to fight IS. Closer to home, the government wants to extend the current state of emergency for another 3 months. Hollande also says he wants to change the French constitution to better deal with terrorism and other crises, a proposal that has drawn criticism from rights advocates. Meanwhile, the search continues for suspects and accomplices linked to the Paris attacks. Another key suspect, Brussels-born Salah Abdeslam, may still be on the loose. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
Turkish state media says 10 migrants are missing in the Aegean after their boat sank off the Turkish coast. Another five migrants were rescued from the craft that was headed to the Greek island of Kos. Greece Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras is meeting today in Ankara with Turkish leaders to discuss reducing the flow of migrants by human traffickers from Turkey to Greece. Yesterday, Turkish fans booed during the play of Greek national anthem and a minute of silence in memory of the 129 victims of the Paris attacks. They were watching a soccer match between the national teams of Turkey and Greece. Mr. Tsipras and Turkish Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu were also attending the match. The Associated Press, meanwhile, says King Abdullah II of Jordan met with officials in Austria this week. He says the fight against terror and the migrant crisis are linked and is asking for economic help for millions of Syrian refugees.
In Nigeria, police and Red Cross officials say a Tuesday night suicide bombing killed at least 32 people and wounded 80 at a marketplace in the city of Yola. The explosion ended 3 weeks of relative calm in this northeastern state of Adamawa. Last month, bombers killed 42 and wounded more than 100 at mosques in two cities in the region. Boko Haram has resorted to more suicide bombings of civilian targets since the military forces of Nigerian and neighboring countries retook large portions of the region once occupied by Boko Haram. More than 2 million people have been displaced and thousands killed in the militants' six-year effort to occupy the region. In related news, President Muhammadu Buhari ordered the arrest last night of a former security advisor to ex-president Goodluck Jonathan on corruption charges. Sambo Dasuki has been accused of awarding non-existent contracts to purchase an estimated $2 billion in arms to fight against Boko Haram. The contracts were to purchase 12 helicopters, 4 fighter jets, and munitions. Dasuki has denied the charges. His arrest is part of an investigation of more than $5.4 billion in fictional arms purchases. An advisor to Mr. Buhari says the president has also ordered the arrest of other former high-ranking officials linked to the scandal. Dasuki, 60, is a retired Army lieutenant colonel. He has participated in every coup in Nigeria since the 1980s. Nigeria's State Security Service has kept Dasuki under house arrest for more than a week. He also pleaded innocent to charges of money laundering involving more than $423,000 found in cash and illegal possession of arms seized at two of his homes. Critics had questioned the ineffectiveness of Nigeria's once powerful military forces, despite an annual defense budget of between $5 and $6 billion and a 2014 loan of $1 billion.
Guinea's last Ebola patient has recovered, and the countdown is on. If there are no new Ebola cases for 42 days, the World Health Organization will declare Guinea Ebola-free. Karima Kamara reports from Conakry.
The countdown began Monday after Guinea discharged its last Ebola case, a three-week-old baby. Her parents and four other family members died. The remaining 68 people under quarantine have been released after testing negative. The head of the National Coordination for the Fight Against Ebola, Dr. Sakoba Keta, says Guinea will continue community education and radio campaigns. He says if he is confident, if they continued these methods, the World Health Organization will declare the end of Ebola in Guinea on December 29th. He says that will be a special year-end gift for the country. He said they identified the maximum number of contacts possible related to the last known cluster of cases. He says in July last year, we were almost close to the end of Ebola when infected people from Sierra Leone and Liberia entered the country, sparking fresh outbreaks. But this time, he says things are different. Guinea was the last country reporting new cases. The WHO declared Sierra Leone Ebola-free on November 7th and Liberia on September 3rd. On the street of Conakry, people are welcoming the news cautiously.
To what I'm telling the government, they should not fold their hands. Guinea, everything has slowed down because of Ebola. This is a good news, but we are worried as well. Until we see the government deploying more effort.
Teacher Mohamed Kamara says the government should not fold their hands. He says everything has slowed down because of Ebola. He says this is a good news, but we are worried and want to see the government keep up its effort. This regional epidemic, the worst Ebola outbreak in history, began in Guinea's southwestern forest region almost 2 years ago. More than 28,000 contracted the virus and more than 11,000 died. Experts are encouraging continued vigilance. Scientists are concerned that the virus may remain active in bodily tissues or semen for possibly months after recovery. Guinea has closed all its Ebola treatment units, but those in Conakry and the west of the country remain open, just in case. Karim Kamara, VOA News, Conakry.
A A new study outlines dual problems with antibiotics. The first is a lack of access to the drugs in many areas, while the second is growing antibiotic resistance. The study by the British medical journal The Lancet says many lives are being lost as a result. VOA's Joe DiCapua reports.
The Lancet study is supported by researchers at the New York-based Center for Disease Dynamics, Economics, and Policy. Ramanan Lakshmanarayan is CDDEP director. He says many children needlessly die from disease each year for want of antibiotics.
We have two problems here. One is that not enough people in the world have access to effective antibiotics. And the second is many of them, even when they get access to an antibiotic, may have resistant infection, which means the antibiotics are not working for them anymore.
He says increasing the use of antibiotics in about 100 countries could prevent many deaths.
We estimate that if you universally provide antibiotics, we could save about 440,000 deaths just with pneumonia every year. Now, resistance is also a problem, and here we estimate that there are probably about 200,000 plus deaths associated with infections in newborns around the world. So this too is a problem.
The lack of access to antibiotics usually occurs in low and middle-income countries.
There is a lack of access simply because of a lack of affordability. A lot of people are just too poor to be able to buy an antibiotic. That's number one. Number two, when they do get an antibiotic, it might be spurious or it might be a fake drug. So the idea is not just to get access to an antibiotic. It's to get access to an effective antibiotic.
The World Health Organization has launched a global campaign to raise awareness about antibiotic resistance, a program called Antibiotics, Handle with Care.
Well, antibiotic resistance is a consequence of the use, overuse, and misuse of antibiotics, both for human health as well as in agriculture and aquaculture. About two-thirds of antibiotics are used globally in the agricultural sector. The one-third that is used in humans, a lot of it is inappropriate use. Even in the United States, probably over half of the antibiotics that are used are inappropriate.
Lakshmanarayan says too many people think of antibiotics as a cure-all that can be easily used without any consequences. He says that's not true.
When we overuse antibiotics, we reduce the chance that it's going to work for us in the future. It lowers the chance that it's going to work for people that are close to us, and then, of course, for the rest of society. This is a huge public health issue around the world. Much like HIV, it connects both the developed and the developing world.
He says many people in urban areas are able to buy antibiotics without a prescription. That contributes to resistance. The Lancet study says there are several things that can be done.
We can begin with a few things. We can reduce use of antibiotics in agriculture. Even in the United States, a lot of the antibiotics are given subtherapeutically. What that means is the antibiotics are given to animals in very low concentrations with their feed every day, ostensibly to make them grow faster and also to prevent disease. Phasing that out would probably cut out about 25% of the antibiotics that we use today. Better hospital infection control can help.
Many patients catch infections while they're in a hospital. Antibiotic use rises sharply during the flu season. Even though antibiotics are not effective against viruses, the drugs are widely and inappropriately prescribed. Lakshmanarayan says more widespread use of the flu and pneumococcal vaccines could greatly reduce the use of antibiotics to prevent possible secondary infections.
For pneumonia, in many countries, the children don't get the antibiotic on time. So I would say that a child with pneumonia does need antibiotics, but in many instances, they don't get them, which is why we lose probably over 500,000 children every year just to that one disease.
He says any new antibiotics that are developed cannot be administered the way current medications are. Otherwise, they too would become ineffective against many infections.
They wouldn't last very long. That's number one. Number two, any investment in new antibiotics today is going to take years and years to pay off. So this isn't any sort of an immediate solution to the problem that we have today. The newest antibiotics cost thousands of dollars, and we have to ask ourselves, do we really want to pay thousands of dollars for a new antibiotic, or do we want to conserve the antibiotics that we have that cost, you know, under $20?
The Center for Disease Dynamics, Economics, and Policy recently warned of more deaths following organ transplant surgeries and cancer chemotherapy because antibiotics have become less effective against opportunistic infections. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
Vatican officials continue to closely monitor the situation in Central African Republic. It's scheduled to be the last stop on Pope Francis's trip to Africa late this month. They're concerned about the Pope's safety amid violence that first erupted in 2013 with the toppling of President François Mbozizé. Fighting between Muslim rebels and Christian militias has left many civilians dead or displaced. Pope Francis is scheduled to visit Kenya, Uganda, and CAR. However, the Vatican's Secretary of State, Pietro Parolin, says the last leg of the trip could be cancelled if deemed unsafe. Vatican officials say the Pope would like to open the Jubilee or Holy Year at the cathedral in Bangui.
Pope Francis travels to Kenya next week to kick off his first Africa tour, and the excitement is building. Since becoming Pope in March 2013, Pope Francis has been shaking up the church with his progressive views on everything from homosexuality to divorce. He has made headlines for his comments on relaxing restrictions for divorced Catholics, possible support for married priests, and more compassion for gay people. Jill Craig visited a Nairobi Catholic church to see how the Pope's less traditional views are being received.
Churchgoers here at Nairobi's Holy Family Minor Basilica may seem just a bit more joyful this Sunday as they prepare for the arrival of a special visitor to their country.
Actually, we are waiting a message of hope from Pope, from how he conducts himself. I think he will bring a good impact and a positive attitude to people, and we should embrace what he's bringing to Kenyans because he's our role model.
Pope Francis is seen as more progressive than his predecessors. The question is how those views will resonate with Africans during his first visit to the continent. In the past decade, Kenya has seen breakaway orders of Catholic priests who decided to get married. Pope Francis has not condoned this, but he has reportedly said the Vatican is looking into the question of married priests. Adonai Tendwa doesn't believe that priests should be allowed to get married.
Because it's better for someone leading others spiritually, being single, just the way he is. You know, if you say he's going to get married, some things will come in. He needs to take care of the family. He has stress of the family, the wife, and everything. I think spiritually it will affect.
Samuel Gitao agrees.
When they marry, I feel they not be able to concentrate in the church affairs, yeah.
Pope Francis has said he wants to see a greater role for women in Catholicism, but that he is against ordaining women priests. Church usher Josephine Kivuva agrees.
Because the men are the ones who have been priests up till now, and they have done pretty a good job. And also, I think the disciples that Jesus chose when he was here on earth, they were all men, particularly maybe for a reason, for us to take as an example.
But Rogers Mwindwa says women should get the opportunity too.
Yes, because in the kingdom of God, even women should have some part to play.
It is on the topic of homosexuality that Pope Francis may most diverge with church members in Africa. While the Pope says marriage should remain an institution between a man and a woman, he has not categorically ruled out civil unions. And he has urged love and mercy for gay people, asking who is he to judge them. Kenya, on the other hand, outlines its stance clearly. Homosexuality is illegal. Church members say they do not condone it.
Homosexuality shouldn't be there. Yeah, because at the first, in the book, in the Bible we read, we need to get married and bring up children. Now when you bring homosexuality, that one will not be having a family.
But Catholics here say they are ready to set differences of opinion aside.
When the Pope gives us direction, we need to follow it according to the tradition of the church.
Pope Francis is scheduled to arrive in Nairobi November 25th. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
Cambodia's opposition leader, Sam Rainsy, is accusing the ruling party of carrying out a constitutional coup after a local court issued an arrest warrant for him and a parliamentary committee stripped him of his seat. In a message published on Facebook, the politician says the ruling party is taking measures to try to eliminate the country's main opposition party. Robert Carmichael reports from Phnom Penh.
Opposition leader Sam Rainsy was originally scheduled to return to Cambodia late Monday after visits to Japan and South Korea. But he postponed his arrival after a court issued an arrest warrant for him on Friday, and a parliamentary committee controlled by the ruling party subsequently stripped him of his legal immunity and his seat. Rainsy has yet to fix a return date. On Wednesday, the Cambodia Daily newspaper reported that negotiations were underway to organise a deal between the opposition leader and strongman Prime Minister Hun Sen, who has ruled the country for three decades. The standoff caps weeks of rising tensions between the ruling party and the opposition. Late last month, the ruling Cambodian People's Party's legislators voted to fire the opposition's deputy head, Kem Sokar, from his parliamentary post. Days earlier, a mob severely beat two opposition lawmakers as they left parliament, as police and security guards stood by. Later that day, a mob attacked Kem Sokar's private residence. The police ignored pleas for help from his wife, who was trapped inside their home. Many people believe the ruling CPP ordered the attacks, though a party spokesman denied that was the case. Political analyst U Virak, the founder of the think tank The Future Forum, says the current discord has strong echoes the ruling party's actions before the 2008 and 2013 general elections.
It has worked magic in the past, so Hun Sen is looking at this as a page from an old playbook, and he's definitely in some way is going back to the same tactic that has worked for him so cheaply, so easily, by just bringing a legal charge with a court that he has full control over.
The opposition Cambodia National Rescue Party, or CNRP, stunned the ruling party when it came close to winning the 2013 general election, losing by just 300,000 votes, or around 4% of the electorate. Virak says the ruling party realises that its 2013 pledge to enact reforms is proving hard to carry out, which is why it is now trying to divide the opposition ahead of the 2018 ballot.
After the 2013 election, which was a very, very close election, the CPP thought they can actually look at reforms and try to attract young voters. I think they realise it's actually much more difficult, particularly with an entrenched, corrupt system that they've built, that they have. So they are now they're basically resorting to old tactics, old dirty tactics, and which is using the courts, which they have full control to bring about legal harassment of Mr. Somerset that has worked magic in the past and still work today.
Overnight, the spokesman for UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon described the arrest warrant against Rainsy and the earlier attacks on opposition MPs as, quote, worrisome developments, end quote, and urged both parties to resume talks. It has been a difficult year for the opposition. 15 activists were jailed earlier this year after being convicted of insurrection, and a senator is currently awaiting trial on the charge of forging a public document. The cases against them are widely regarded as politically motivated. The arrest warrant against Rainsy relates to a 2011 court decision in which he was found guilty in absentia of defamation and ordered to serve 2 years in jail, after stating that Foreign Minister Hornam Hong helped to run a Khmer Rouge prison during Pol Pot's brutal 1970s rule. However, that conviction was widely believed to have been quashed ahead of the 2013 election, when Rainsy was issued a royal pardon, allowing him to return from exile to contest the vote. Robert Carmichael for VOA News, Phnom Penh.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. Stay tuned for Straight Talk Africa with Shaka Sali coming up at 18:30 UTC. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. And on behalf of our Africa News Tonight producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Marty Curcius, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Looking for something? Headline news, interviews, analysis? We've got it all on voaafrica.com.
voaafrica.com.